Thank you very much for that kind introduction. I want to begin first with a word of prayer, so let's do that. Father, take this time and use it in our hearts as your word is always intended to do. And so with the passage that we have before us, let us use it to your honor and glory. And so we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, that's the passages we already said we'll be looking at here this morning. Let me make a couple of opening comments before we do that. Obviously, we are here to acknowledge Larry and Diane's last Sunday here, and that's really a big part of what we're doing here. And I'm grateful that it comes up on the fourth Sunday, all right? Now, some of you may not understand that, but over at Tonkawa Bible Church, I've asked for the fourth Sunday of every month off. Holding a secular job, I need some time aside from preparation and things like that to be able to just do chores around the house and things like that. So I've asked for the fourth Sunday, and they graciously give it. Now, I would have made it here. I don't care what Sunday would have chosen. I would have made it here no matter what. But I am grateful it's shown up here on the fourth Sunday. And I also want to say thank you to the elders. Thank you for giving me this opportunity, because I am very honored. I'm very honored to be here in the pulpit here this morning. And just to kind of also just say the other side of the story about the 1 Thessalonians 5 passage here, when I got serious, I've got to think about what am I actually going to present here, teach from the Word of God. My through the Bible reading was here. This was when I decided I've got to make that decision. This was the passage. And I read it and I said, yes, I can make a message out of this. I believe I can do something with this passage. So I think God really does. He's underlining here the importance of this passage. So with that, I hope now you're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm going to look just at verses 12 and 13 this morning. Let me read them very briefly. From New American Standard Version, it says this, "But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another." That's the passage we will look at today. I see kind of two things we want to unfold out of this passage. One is three characteristics of the Christian leader in the Christian assembly. And then there are two things as well that are a response of the Christian assembly to the Christian leader. I want to start first with the three characteristics of the leader in the Christian assembly. The first one is that found there in verse 12, diligently labor among you as local believers. That's the first one here. That word for labor is a Greek word that refers to toiling. And it's toiling to the point of weariness. So this is a word that talks about how difficult the labor is. And the labor with church leaders in the church is consistently characterized that way in the New Testament. For example, 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul talks to Timothy and he says, "Suffer hardship with me." And you can think of other passages as well that say the same basic thing. So it is a difficult work that is called upon. So this is not a job for those who are seeking an easy living. At least not if you do it right. There is nothing easy about leading a church. So it requires someone who's going to be a hard worker. That's the first thing here. And that labor to the point of being exhausted, of great weariness, is a people-oriented labor. You catch the phrases that are in there? They diligently labor among you. They have charge over you. They give you instruction. This is a people-oriented ministry. You don't just show up, punch parts out, send them down the assembly line. This is about people. That's part of what makes it hard. And that ministry is to be characterized, despite how difficult it is, by diligence. It is attention to all aspects of the job here. There's a certain single-mindedness that is to go along here with meeting the needs of the people in the local body. You focus on that. Paul speaks of that again. He holds up a couple of individuals at the end of 1 Corinthians, late in chapter 16. He mentions them by name, and he says that they are devoted to the ministry of the saints. That's what characterizes this: diligence, devotion. Now, labor, as it's seen here, is a very broad description. It tells us in a big way that what the job is. But he goes on in the same passage then and develops it in two very specific ways here. Now, I'm sure that more could be said in this passage. He just leaves it at these two. The first one is also there in verse 12, where they have charge over the local believers. So this aspect of the labor is that of leading. As a matter of fact, the phrase here, that they have charge over you, could literally be translated, who are placed over you. Now, the first thing I want to say about that is notice that that construction is passive. They do not seek this for themselves. It is the Lord who puts them in this place. It is done by the Lord. So it becomes a description here of the function of those individuals. They are set out in front here. And they are set in front in order to lead. And that's true no matter what you call those leaders, whether it's pastor, elder, bishop, whatever word you choose to use there, that is the function of them and what they are to do. Right? Now, any human organization is going to require some sort of leadership, some sort of oversight. And that's because if you don't have it, it becomes chaos and it falls apart. And that's no less true of the local church. As a matter of fact, in a certain sense, maybe it's more true. Because rather than an organization, the local church is an organism. It is alive and needs direction, needs that guidance and things of that nature. And so leaders in the local assembly, God puts them in place, and God chooses individuals who are servant leaders. That's very important. Dictators need not apply. If you want to lead in the local assembly, you are to be a servant leader. Because, and you've heard this said, this is not original with me, at the foot of the cross, the ground is level. Nobody stands higher than anyone else, and that's the reason they're put into leadership. We are all spiritually equal, whoever is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. What God chooses to do is put people in who are willingly going to serve. And it's then that He grants them that authority to lead within the church. Now, some are very specifically gifted that way. You know the Ephesians chapter 4 passage. He gives apostles, He gives prophets, so on and so forth. Among them also pastors and teachers. Right? So that is some certain giftedness that's given here. But once again, to underscore this, Paul writes it this way. He says, they have charge over you in the Lord. So their leadership is primarily in the spiritual realm of our lives. That's where they are focusing on. Now, that may be related back to things that you're experiencing in your life other than that, but you can see he's related to you by faith. All of us in the flock are related by faith. And so it's in the Lord that this leadership takes place. And as I said earlier, Christ Himself sets into this role. It is passive. He does the work. So, consequently, the leader then has an accounting that he will give before Christ. So both the responsibility that's given to him and that accountability are part of what has to be kept in mind. You lead and you're going to be accountable for it. That's part of why James says, be careful. You're going to be held to a higher level in the judgment. So it is important that a leader understand how great this is that he has this great responsibility. So the labor likewise is done with diligence. Again, Paul brings this out. Romans chapter 12, he goes on about all the various gifts. One of the things he says is the one who leads is to lead, again, with diligence. So when someone leads, when somebody takes on this job, this labor in the church, part of it includes then this labor of leading, and it too is done with diligence. There's yet one more here in this passage, and that's the labor of teaching. The end of verse 13, and give you instruction. All right, that's the last one that's here. Now, you may have a marginal note in your Bible like I do that says you could read that or admonition. Teaching or admonition, instruction or admonition. Now, admonition is a word that refers to the warning. It's a gentle warning, usually against what is evil. That's what there's a warning here regarding that. Now, that warning can be before the fact, and hopefully that's usually when it takes place, is before the fact, to warn of spiritual danger. If you proceed down such and such a path according to the Word of God, this is what will overtake you, and it will be bad for you. It can also be after the fact. And again, it's a gentle warning, a gentle instruction, a correction after a stumbling has taken place. And so this labor of teaching is involving that as well. Now, it is based on preaching and teaching the Bible. And anything else is misguided. The guy in the pulpit who's preaching from something else is misguiding himself, and he's certainly misguiding those to whom he is addressing. So it is the Bible and the Bible alone that sets the standard. And that standard is knowing and communicating the Word of God and doing that effectively. That's part of the diligence part. All right, let's move on to the two responses of the local believer. The first one is also there in verse 12. By the way, he says we are brethren here. So us local believers, we're brethren. And I kind of said that a little earlier. All who believe in Christ Jesus as Savior, that we are brothers because of our relationship to the Lord. All right, we've been brought into His family. And so we are brothers in that regard. All right, the first there is to appreciate those who diligently labor among us. So there's our first obligation we have, is to appreciate you. Once again, the marginal note tells me that literally is the word know. And I kind of am glad that they used appreciate. You got to kind of do some interpretation on that word to know. New King James Version uses recognize. Recognize those who labor among you diligently. All right, so we are to recognize those who lead us, those who instruct us. Do so with diligence. Recognize them for what they are. It's not just know in the sense of, oh yes, I could tell you on the street who my pastor is. That's not what it's driving at. It's to recognize them. They are entitled to respect because of the office they hold. Again, Christ has put them in that position. But it goes farther than that. Because those who do it well, those who do it with diligence, have earned that respect. That diligence of labor, that diligence of instruction, that diligence in leading has made them worthy of that respect and of recognition of that respect here. So this is the action part of how to treat spiritual leaders. Here's the way that we can do it. And by the way, there is no problem with honoring a faithful leader as long as God gets the glory. I mean, we're told to build up one another. That's a part of church life. And we do so for our leaders as well. As long as God gets the glory, it's instructed in the Word of God that we do that. And so that's our first thing here as a response of a local believer, is that of appreciating those. The second is very similar, and it's found in verse 13, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Now, first of all, it's not just to esteem them highly, it's esteem them very highly. That is to say, with the highest respect, esteem them. The idea behind the word here is to think, or even to estimate in our minds that high regard we're to have for them. As a matter of fact, the New American Standard Version in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, translates this same exact word as regard. So you can think of it in that way, and that you regard them highly, very highly. Okay, so that's the thought here. This is the attitude part. Here's our attitude towards our leadership. The flock should treat the leader in the church with honor and respect. In fact, it is improper for anyone in the flock to belittle the leader, to seek to continually obstruct the leader, to go against at every time the leader. As a matter of fact, no one should ever be cold or indifferent toward their spiritual leadership. It would also include things like being under subjection. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 16. Talking about being in subjection to those who are in leaders here. And we esteem them this way because of their work. Remember, it's to estimate, to think about it this way. It is an intelligent and sympathetic appreciation of their work. Shepherding the flock is a high calling, and as we've seen, it's a difficult calling. Now, it said earlier it's labor. To work to the point where you're very, very tired in that notion. But here, it's a different word. He says that you esteem them highly in love because of their work. Using a different word here, it's more of a task. And the focus really is about the activity as much as it is about how hard the work is. Right? You covered the hard part earlier. Here, it's really about the activity that goes on. And so the focus here deals with things like preparing and then delivering a message or a Sunday school lesson or things like that. There's prayer that's involved. There's that availability. Spiritual leadership is available 24 hours a day. You pick up your phone and you make a call when you need them. There are meetings to run. Now, that's pretty mundane, but it's got to be done, right? All right, so that's part of the task. There's exercising church discipline. You talk about something that's hard. I went through that with Larry. We together, and other leaders as well, but we went through church discipline a couple of times. One time it worked out good. One time, no. That's hard. That is hard. But it's supposed to be done. It's part of the tasks that need to be done. So the key for us as brethren is to highly esteem and love our spiritual leaders here. And I remind you, this is the classic word for love in the New Testament, agapao, that love of action, a self-sacrificing love. And so this is the attitude that motivates that esteem we have for our church leaders. And since they seek our welfare, it actually is a, not natural, it is a supernatural response to them and to what they do. And so it's the affection that we feel because we are brothers in Christ and because of the work that they do. Now, it also fits with that last sentence. Now, I know this last sentence becomes the transition into what he's going to talk about aside from church leadership, but it fits in very well with that sentence as well, which is basically live in peace with one another. All right, that would be also with leadership. And by the way, it's speaking of maintaining the peace, not creating it in the first place. That peace really is already in place because of what we are in Christ together, what all of us are in Jesus Christ. So, though a leader may seek God's will, there's the opportunity always to irritate in doing that. Okay, that's just one of those things. Let's live in peace even if we get irritated by the way our leaders deal with things. Okay? We should be gracious to the leaders. Because leaders are going to make mistakes. It's going to happen. It has happened. It will happen. Let's be gracious about it. Let's live in peace that way. So a good way to show esteem to a leader, again, in this self-sacrificing love, is to look for ways to meet some need they have. That's one way to do it. So you can be very creative in meeting the needs of a leader and do that. There can be other ways that we've talked about. A lot of it is, you know, be warm towards them and things like that. So that tells us what our obligations are as well to our spiritual leadership. So we want to wrap this up. But first of all, saying that again, what we're doing today here, which is a recognition of Diane and Larry and their 30-plus years of service here, it's biblically correct. We do that. See that right here. It's right and it's proper for us to gratefully acknowledge what Larry and Diane have done in their ministry over all these years here in the Pioneer Bible Church. As long as we give the Lord the glory, we're free to edify one another. All right? So many of us here, and I suspect most everybody who's here, you know, has known Larry and Diane for years and years and years, and all of us say thank you. Thank you, Larry. Thank you, Diane. You know, Larry has diligently labored, really to the point of weariness. I can attest to that, and he's done so on our behalf. Just witness, if you will, in your mind, his listening ear. You brought things up to Larry, he's paid attention. He's listened. Consider all of his prayer over all these years. As you have asked him to pray for things, he has devoted it to the issue of prayer. His availability. Larry is here and has been here when you needed him. An obvious example of that labor is Larry's leadership here at Pioneer Bible Church. And throughout all these years, he's faced what he believed was the direction of the Lord here, and then helped guide us in that direction. And that's true, you know, along with the elders and deacons as well. He's just pointed the way forward. God set him out in front of us and pointed the way for us to go. And time would fail me, really, to try and even scratch the surface of how Larry has stayed true in his instruction to the Bible. It has been Bible-based, nothing else. That's what Larry has done. You know, I would say, at least from my perspective, his strength is the verse-by-verse Bible teaching. And I will say it is both accurate and it is practical. He has given us what it says and what it means. And then he said, by the way, here's how you can make use of this in your life. And so we should be walking out from under his teaching with an idea and an understanding of the Word of God being useful to us in our lives. And he's built us up. He's warned us about the dangers of evil. Many is the time I've heard here from this pulpit where Larry was speaking and we'd talk about something that has the potential for leading you into evil. He has warned us about this. And then as Chris mentioned, I've personally benefited from Larry's wise counsel. It's been more than 20 years now that Larry and I, as much as we can, meet together once a week, and I'm going to miss those times. But we would meet together for lunch. It's been more than 20 years. It goes back somewhere in the mid 1990s. That was when we started meeting, and we've met for a long time. And you know, we never set an agenda what we're going to talk about. A lot of times it was ministry issues. A lot of times it was just life issues. And we helped one another. But I certainly benefited from that. I got a lot out of meeting together with Larry. Very, very helpful. Especially when I started pastoring, you know. That was useful to be able to call on his training and his experience and things like that. And so Let me just finish by saying, for everyone who's here, I believe there's no one who would disagree with this. I say thank you. Thank you, Larry. Thank you, Diane, for all your years of diligent labor among us. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for instructing us to not take our leaders for granted, but to give them the recognition they deserve. Those who have faithfully among us labored, we have the right and the obligation to say so to them. And so we do say that today, very especially to Larry and Diane. And so again, may you get the glory in all of this, just because, in fact, it is what you want us to do. And may they be built up as a result of that. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.